TV.
Well, the first thing I would like to do today is give a shout out to my sister, Kelly, who is the best sister anyone could ever have. She's been my sister almost my entire life. She's 2 years younger than me, and what a supportive soul, loving soul. No matter what I'm going through, she's always there. Sometimes when my ass needs kicked, she'll do that. She always knows what to do and when to do it. You know, we were only a family of four, my mom, dad, my sister, and me, and our mom and dad are gone, and my sister Kelly and I, we can't imagine going through this life without the other one. So may God, my prayer is, of course, is that God snatches us away alive together into the clouds. That would be great. Anyway, I love you, Kelly, and thank you for everything. I also want to give a shout out to Carl from Tasmania. He goes by the name of Tazzy Bible Bloke. He comments frequently on this site, always great comments. He had a real health scare here lately, as he's having a real struggle getting over pneumonia. And I just want to put him before us. Again, give a shout out. Let him know that the body of Christ is with him. And any kind of comment you can make, giving a shout out to Carl with a K, K-A-R-L, from Tasmania, Tazzy Bible Bloke. He loves this show. He loves all of you. And again, going back to Kelly, she gets this show to you every day, and she's a sounding board for me for a lot of things. She's so behind the scenes, which is what she wants. She doesn't want to be front and center at all, but she is an integral part of this organization, and I thank God for her. So Zwinny Macias, someone named Zwinny Macias, I don't know who this is. I don't think their first name is actually Zwinny. Who knows? Made a great comment on yesterday's show concerning Clyde Pilkington and Dean Wilkinson and Steve Martin and Chris Carnahan going off grace. Going off grace. Suggesting to us, based on an ignorance of a rule of scriptural interpretation, that grace should be translated, that grace should be translated joy. Even though there's already a separate Greek word for joy. And by the way, I didn't mention this yesterday, but the word grace and the word joy, grace is charis, joy is chara. This is not a case of a different part of speech, like ion, aeonia. This is not that at all. These are both nouns. It's not like one's a noun and it's the same root word. It's one's a verb or one's an adjective. No, these are both nouns. Grace is a noun. Joy is a noun. They both have different meanings. When charis appears, the Concordant translates it overwhelmingly grace. They never translated joy because it doesn't mean joy, even though grace is the word, even though joy is the word family, as I discussed yesterday. If you're not up to speed on this, watch yesterday's video. I think you would be helped by yesterday's video, and then this is considered part two. And the Concordant, when they say chara, they translated joy, and they never translated grace because these are not thoughts. These are not truths. These are not words that you can substitute for one another. You can't do it. And yet Clyde Pilkington and Dean Wilkinson and Steve Martin, they're all taking this happiness, thinking that they can just take anywhere the word grace appears, substitute joy for it. And it makes them happy because it's something new. And sometimes it works, but many times it doesn't work. And if it doesn't work once, then it doesn't work at all. It shouldn't work. It's not meant to work. It's a word with a separate meaning. But the comment of our brother, Zwinny Macias, is this. Even if they replace grace with joy, they still don't get rid of grace, because we're saved not of works, lest any man should boast. This is exactly right. What do these people try to achieve here? And that is a great question. is winning. I at first thought, okay, you're getting rid of the word grace. You don't like the word grace. You want to replace it with joy, even though there's that would be overlap because there's already a Greek word for joy, chara. Then you leave this Greek word charis unrepresented. What are you going to replace it with? And I'm thinking, okay, but you at least like Zwinny here says, you can't replace the truth behind it, the concept of unmerited favor. But they're getting rid of that too. When I read comments like this from Clyde Pilkington, I shared this with you before. He says, quote, will people not feel so hateful of themselves? He thinks that if we're completely unworthy of the favor of God, then we would necessarily be hateful of ourselves, be down on ourselves. Then Clyde says, God pities you? And he says that facetiously, God pities you? Are we going to mess people up by talking to them about joy? In other words, Clyde thinks that if we substitute joy for grace, then people won't get this idea that God pities them. And you realize how serious he is about wanting people to not feel this unworthiness when you listen to what Dean Wilkinson said in another video interviewed by Steve Martin. Now, this is a shocker. And I will say to my friend Dean Wilkinson, Dean, as sincere as you are, you have lost the plot, brother. You are off. You have gone astray. Dean said this in an interview with Steve Martin concerning this very topic. I'm thankful for you and Clyde putting it out there. Putting what out there? That we can eliminate the word grace, substitute it with joy. I'm thankful that you and Clyde are putting it out there to help other people to see so you don't have those thoughts of, like, I don't deserve this. There it is. Dean said the quiet part out loud. He likes the idea, and so does Clyde. They like the idea of getting rid of grace because that will get rid of people having these thoughts of, like, quote, I don't deserve this. And I'm sorry, but what is the alternative except that you do deserve it? Give me the alternative. I can't see any other alternative. That you're not so bad after all. And it's not that you're worthless. Dean goes into that, like, we would never tell our children that they're worthless. It's not that we're worthless. But that's where love comes in. If you're talking about the love of God, then we know we all have worth before God. But in the scriptures, in most contexts, grace is played against sin and law. And because of sin, none of us can attain to the perfection of God. We have all gone out of the way. There is no one righteous, no, not one. Not one is seeking out God. We are all wanting of the glory of God. And that is where grace shines for those people wanting of the glory of God. They don't have the glory of God. And when God then gives them glory, how can you say anything but they don't deserve it? But these gentlemen are fighting that. They're fighting this feeling of I don't deserve it. Clyde doesn't want people anymore to think that God pities them. Clyde doesn't want anymore for people to be hateful of themselves. And again, you can feel unworthy of God without feeling hateful of yourself. This sounds to me like some sort of psychological crutch for people with psychological problems, people with self-esteem problems. We have to get rid of grace. Why? Because people with self-esteem problems feel like, to quote Dean and Steve, bags of crap. They feel like bags of crap when they hear that grace is unmerited favor, that they didn't merit it. That makes people with psychological issues, such as self-esteem issues, that makes them feel like bags of crap. And we can't have that. So acting more in the role of psychologists than teachers of the Word of God, they are eliminating grace and substituting joy. Joy. Feeling good. Don't worry. Grace makes you feel bad because you feel like you don't deserve it. And that, like Clyde said, I grew up believing that grace was the unmerited favor of God. But it is the unmerited favor of God. But this ministry, Clyde's ministry, has become this soft, feel-good ministry for people with psychological issues. These men are trying to avoid these people feeling lesser than. But for a healthy person to come to the scriptures and to read verses like Romans 3:13, the venom of asps is under their lips. I'm sorry, maybe God could be a little more sensitive there, speaking through Paul, about these poor people with self-esteem issues. What are they going to think when they read Romans 3:13 or when they read Romans 10 through 14? There's no one righteous, no, not one. I'm feeling terrible about myself. So these men are coming to the rescue. We're just going to get rid of grace. We're going to get rid of the concept. It's not a concept, it's a truth of the unmerited favor of God. And again, the only alternative is that, okay, now you merit it. There's no such thing as you being lesser than. That's what they want you to think. That's the underlying push here. And as someone else asks later, and I'm going to get into this because this is so good. Constantine Tony says, I'm at a loss. Why can't that guy, Claude, why can't that guy just leave scripture alone? Always teaching and changing it into weird crap. Yes, and what is happening in that ministry is weird crap, changing it. Why can't he just leave scripture alone? Just leave grace alone. We've been happy with it because the Word of God, by inspired context, tells us what grace is. Unmerited favor of God. Place it up against working for God's favor via law. Place it up against being a sinner and being wanting of the glory of God. The answer is grace. The answer to Paul's dilemma of not being able to do what he wants to do is grace. And now you're taking it away because your ministry, Clyde, has become a feel-good ministry. Every single sect, every single departure from the truth, I've counted 15, every single one of them, and I will show this tomorrow. There's a common denominator, and I've been seeking for it, I've been looking for it, and now it's obvious to me. It's about feeling good. It's about soft focusing everything, taking the edge off scriptures, taking the extremes out of scripture, being a terrible sinner, an unworthy person, and then suddenly being given the grace of God, or being snatched away suddenly to leave your loved ones in the lurch. No, we can't have that. Every single departure from truth has to do with salvaging human self-esteem and preserving the family unit. Clyde is heavy into patriarchy, and this is all related to that. It's preserving the family unit here on earth for as long as possible so we can all die natural deaths. And anyone who has a soft spot for family, I mean, I have a soft spot for family, but I'm sorry, I have a softer spot for scripture. And I'm going to get into more details on what I'm about to tell you right now, but this is a ministry that is seeking for the new, seeking for the novel. It is not being established on traditional truth. And when I say traditional truth, I'm not talking about Christian traditions. I'm talking about Pauline traditions. I wasn't planning on going here now. I'll elaborate later. But I want to go to 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Consequently, then, brethren, stand firm, hold to the traditions which you were taught by us, whether through word or our epistle. There it is. There it is. It's, again, when we hear tradition, we think, oh my God, Christianity. No, we're not talking about those traditions. The traditions of Paul's teaching, such as grace. Now they're taking it away. This is criminal, and yet it's disguised as a lovely enterprise. And Dean Wilkinson comments about how exciting it is. He uses the word exciting twice. Steve Martin says the word is so cool. And these people are on a journey, and they think that so much is still hidden from us. And so they need to be on this exciting journey to discover more. And they just thrill to the fact that Clyde is looking at words in a new way every day, coming up with new sparkles that didn't exist before. And to me, this is terrible. It is the opposite of standing firm and holding to the traditions which you were taught. This channel is boring. Nothing new, just going over and over and over and over and over again, the foundations. Finding new ways to describe it. Finding other scriptures that we didn't know corroborated it. Reading comments from you that shed a new light on an old truth. It's being reminded every day of what we have. It is not a journey. Damn, we are not on a journey. We are not on a journey of discovery. That's what Clyde's ministry has become. A journey of new discovery, new and exciting discoveries that are going to make you feel better about yourself. He's becoming the Oprah of the body of Christ, honestly. We're not on a journey of discovery. We are on a journey of holding fast to the traditions. And the opposite of that is being blown about by every wind of teaching, Ephesians 4:14. And that is not what we want. So are they going to give us another word for the unmerited favor of God? If it's not grace, then what, you're going to invent another word? There's that word charis, suited perfectly to it. You're going to make that joy, even though chara, another noun, a different word, suits perfectly for joy, and the Concordant translates it joy in every context. You're going to now crosswire these two words in the manner of the King James Version, all in the interest of coddling people with personality disorders? So let me quote this again. It's just astounding. Dean says, "I'm thankful for you and Clyde." He's speaking to Steve Martin, an acolyte of Mr. Pilkington. Great guys, nice guys. Again, I have nothing against these people personally, except for the first time I have something against Clyde personally. I have never said a disparaging word about Clyde's character. People have accused me of doing that. I never have. It's been all about the teaching. But I'm seeing something now. I'm debating whether or not to say it. Maybe I'll decide by the end of this show. But for now, Dean says, in this video, a recent video where he's being interviewed by Steve Martin, "I'm thankful for you and Clyde putting it out there to help other people to see, so that you don't have these thoughts of, like, I don't deserve this." And then Steve, answering Dean, says, "Right. Unmerited favor, we've been told." And that's exactly how he puts it. Unmerited favor, we've been told. Remember, Clyde said, "I used to think grace was unmerited favor." So they're getting rid of not just the word, but the truth behind it. They're getting rid of unmerited favor. Unmerited favor, we've been told. We don't deserve it. We're worthless. See, they're transposing things here. Being worthless is not true. But we don't deserve it is true. So again, Steve says, right, he says, right to wanting people to no longer have thoughts of, I don't deserve this. Steve, right, unmerited favor, we've been told. We don't deserve it. We're worthless. Then Dean says, Chris, speaking of Chris Carnahan, Chris and I, they're a team. They also make video shows, which I can't recommend. I used to recommend it. It's called DC Time. It used to be called something else. DC Time. I can't recommend it. because they've joined the Oprah Brigade. They're part of the Oprah Brigade. They are the Oprah Brigade. Dean, Chris and I have used that language and were proud to describe it. I really thought, past tense, I really thought I was this bag of crap. But His grace, you know, and it was unmerited favor. Again, He's being facetious. And He bestowed it upon me, and I could be thankful for that. He's still being facetious. Like, He used to feel thankful for that. He used to feel happy about God's unmerited favor. And then Steve backs him up. And Steve says, still a bag of crap, but He gave it to me anyways. Yeah, that's kind of the way we were taught. And they're departing from the way they were taught. They're departing from the traditions that they were taught by the old Clyde, by me, and by the Apostle Paul. Chris and Dean used to love them some Zender. Not anymore. Oh, no, they don't like me anymore. I can tell. They don't. Well, it's not about me. It still hurts to see my friends going off on this touchy-feely ministry of exploration. Steve, still a bag of crap, but He gave it to me anyways. But that's exactly what happens. God gives grace anyways, even though you are. And again, get rid of this bag of crap, okay? Let's use scriptural language. The venom of asps is under our lips, Romans 3:13. And I'm sorry for anyone out there who has self-esteem issues. But the grace of God is good news because you are fully accepted by God in spite of yourself. Still a bag of crap, but He gave it to me anyway. Yeah, that's kind of the way we were taught. And then Dean says, yeah. So then you come to learn, yeah, that's not it at all. There it is. That's not it at all. What's not it at all? That He showered you, an unworthy person, with favor, even though you were unworthy. And He gave you favor that was unmerited. And Dean says, that's not it at all. And Steve says, no. Causing me to conclude that these gentlemen are indeed getting rid of unmerited favor itself. It's one thing if they're just getting rid of the word, replacing it with another word, Schnickelgruben, I don't know, replace it with another word, make up a word, even though there's one suited that was inspired by God, tried seven times, but at least keep the truth. Nope, they're getting rid of the truth. They're getting rid of unmerited favor. Understand this. Clyde's quote, I did not share this with you yesterday. This is new territory. Clyde said, my first clue that this word could not possibly mean undeserved favor, without a shadow of a doubt, that can't be its definition, was Luke 2:40. Luke 2, verse 40. And then Clyde says in the video, let me read you this verse. So I went, of course, he read the verse, and I went to the concordant version of Luke 2:40. And according to Clyde, this word proves, this verse proves that grace cannot be, he didn't say unmerited favor there, he used a synonym. He said, I learned from that verse that this word could not possibly mean undeserved favor. And again, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, what is the opposite of undeserved favor? It's deserved favor. If it doesn't mean undeserved favor, what does it mean? Well, they say it means joy. But why is there joy? Why is, you're not saved by an emotion. Joy is an emotion. Are we saved by an emotion? Grace produces joy. And that's why the word family is helpful. Joy, it's not the definition, but it gives you a clue as to what is involved here. And what is involved is we become joyful because of understanding how much favor God has shown us, and it shocks us all the more when we realize that we don't deserve it. Romans 3:10-14, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. It is unmerited. It is not based on merit. The law was a merit-based system. law is superseded in Paul's ministry by grace. The difference between law and grace couldn't be more profound. Law was, again, a merit-based system where if you did well, God rewarded you. If you did poorly, God cursed you. Grace is not a merit-based system. So it is indeed unmerited, because merit has nothing to do with it. It's not that you're worthless. It's just that God is not judging you based on your merit or your ability or your deservedness of it. And again, you can only appreciate the meaning of this word when you look at it in scriptural contexts and see that the Holy Spirit is comparing it to sin in many places and to law in many places. Sin is our inability to approach the glory of God. And law is that inability shown by a guinea pig nation, Israel, to whom God gave a merit-based system, and they failed it again and again and again. So law is the practical outworking of sin, in that sin has disabled us because we're mortal and we cannot please God. We are unworthy, we are undeserved, and we cannot merit the favor of God. Therefore, when we look around and find the favor of God shining on us like the sunshine, it stuns us against the backdrop of the inability to merit it. So where does Luke 2:40, why did Clyde look at Luke 2:40 and say, I cannot see how this could possibly, I know without a shadow of a doubt after this verse, that grace does not mean undeserved favor. Well, let's read it and let's look at it ourselves. Verse 40. Now the little boy, capital B, Jesus Christ, grows up and was staunch in spirit, being filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. According to Clyde, that verse proved that it can't possibly be unmerited favor. But it still is. Now, there's a definition that I realize we have to get rid of in light of that, and that is grace is favor given to those who deserve the opposite. That's not the case with Jesus Christ. It is the case with us, but there's one exception. Christ Jesus is the only exception to that definition of grace. That's why I propose throwing out that definition. Favor granted to those who deserve the opposite. Jesus Christ did not deserve the opposite of grace. We do. Of every human being, that's true. But of him, it's not true. And since grace is applied to him, we have to throw out that definition. But the unmerited favor of God still fits. How? Why? How can it fit with Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. Did God wait around to see if his son did everything right, everything perfectly, before he lavished him with favor? No. That's the thing. It has nothing to do with merit at all. It's like the love of God. Jesus didn't have to perform worthy acts and do everything right in order for God to love him, because love speaks of something that comes purely from God and it's not dependent upon any sort of human worthiness. So God showed grace to Christ, and it's not because Christ merited it. Of course he would have merited it, but the thing is, grace is not based on a merit. Grace is not applied via a merit-based system. That's why it is opposed to law. Jesus didn't have to merit it because it's not based on merit. He didn't have it because he merited it. God didn't give it to him because he was a good boy. The point is that grace is not based on merit. Law is, works are. Was God good to Christ because he lived a perfect life? No, he wasn't good to him for that reason. Grace is about the thing. It's about grace. It's about the thing. As it originates in God, it is impossible for us to merit it. It was also impossible for him to merit it because it's not based on merit. It's not impossible for him to merit because he couldn't have done it. Of course, he was a perfect person. It was impossible for him to merit it because grace is not based upon merit. If you're perfect, you don't merit it. And if you're a wretched sinner, you don't merit it either. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And he looks at us and he says, these are my children in whom I am well pleased. And it's because of him. It's because of what's sourced in him, not in us. I got so much more to say. I can't believe my time is up. Please be here tomorrow. You don't want to miss it.